This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, station KUWS. Jack McKenna reminding you to back the attack. It's 12 o'clock Central Standard Wartime in a special edition of the Martin and McKenna Show this Monday, August 6th, 1945. Lou Martin is in with the noon news. How about that? Holy mackerel, does he have some news. That's why we're here at noon instead of 6 o'clock. Which, of course, meant that Lou had to get out of bed early.
I haven't even had breakfast.
The noon news is brought to you by Badger Ordnance Works in Baraboo. Looking for workers to help them build rockets to give the Japs the screaming memes. Good afternoon, Lou. Say your hair's all mussed up. You've got that just-got-out-of-bed look.
Never mind about my hair. Good evening. Afternoon, good listeners. President Truman has announced that an atomic bomb packing the punch of 2,000 blockbusters has been dropped on Japan.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base. We won the race of discovery against the German. We have used it in order to shorten the agony of war, in order to save the lives of thousands and thousands of young Americans. We shall continue to use it until we completely destroy Japan's power to make war.
President Truman, we begin our World Shortwave Radio Roundup from Washington.
This is the nation's capital, Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. An atomic bomb, hailed as the most terrible destructive force in history and as the greatest achievement of organized science, has been loosed upon Japan. President Truman disclosed in a White House statement today that the first use of the bomb, containing more power than 20,000 tons of TNT, was made this morning on Hiroshima, Japanese Army Base. President Truman said the atomic bomb was the answer to Japan's refusal to surrender. He grimly warned that even more power powerful forms of this bomb are in development. Quoting him, "If they do not now accept our terms, they may expect a rain of ruin from the air, the likes of which has never been seen before on this earth." Unquote. Secretary of War Henry Stimson predicted the bomb will prove a tremendous aid in shortening the war. The War Department reported that an impenetrable cloud of smoke and dust cloaked Hiroshima after the first atomic bomb crashed down. It was impossible to make an immediate assessment of the damage. Both Mr. Truman and Secretary Stimson made clear that the search for peacetime uses of this atomic energy will be found. Mr. Truman says atomic energy harnesses the basic power of the universe, the force from which the sun draws its power. He says it has been loosed on the people who brought war to the Far East. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson. Come in, Arthur Brisbane.
Brisbane here. Secretary of War Henry Stimson said in a statement that the explosive power of the bomb is such as to stagger the imagination. He added that scientists are confident of developing even more powerful atomic bombs. He said that the security requirements do not permit disclosure of producing the bomb or the nature of its action. He did say, however, that uranium ore is an essential ingredient for atomic weapons. The possibility of using atomic energy to make bombs was first brought to the attention of President Roosevelt in 1939. Mr. Roosevelt then named a committee, and by June of 1942, the atomic program was greatly expanded. Three plants were started by December of 1942. Two are located at the Clinton Engineering Works in Tennessee, and a third at the Hanford Engineer Works in Washington State. In addition, a special laboratory to deal with technical problems was built near Santa Fe, New Mexico. That laboratory is directed by Dr. J. Robert Oppenheimer, whose genius and inspiration, Mr. Stimson said, is largely responsible for development of the bomb. Stimson said building the bomb was an allied effort by scientists, industry, military, and labor over 3 years. He also said Germany was working feverishly to develop the atomic bomb. In the nation's capital, this is Arthur Brisbane, calling Pacific Headquarters. Come in Guam.
This is Pacific HQ in Guam. Frank Tremaine speaking. Four more Japanese cities were left in a mass of flames by 580 super fortresses today. The destruction of the four cities seems certain. Waves of B-29s dropped almost 4,000 tons of incendiaries on the industrial cities of Nishimoya, Maebashi, Imbari, and Saga. One superfortress failed to return. Once again, an all-but-helpless Japan, forewarned that the B-29s were coming on a mission of death, was unable to offer effective resistance. On Sunday, air raid sirens wailed throughout Tokyo as 100 Mustang P-51 returned to strike terror with rockets and machine guns, firing on anything they could find. A single Japanese fighter watched them swoop in and fled. At Pacific Headquarters in Guam, this is Frank Tremaine.
Vice Admiral Mark Michener predicted today that thousands, perhaps millions of Japanese civilians will commit suicide trying to stop an American invasion of Japan. Michener believes they will strap explosives on themselves and blow themselves up trying to kill Americans. The former commander of Task Force 58 in the Philippines, Admiral Michener, recalled, and we quote now, "Jap speedboats whizzed out of the darkness and disintegrated as they crashed into our craft in the Philippines," unquote. He said that 300 of these devil boats were captured before they could be used on Okinawa. Red-hot arguments over whether the Army needs 7 million men to whip Japan in an invasion is brewing in Congress. The debate awaits President Truman upon his return from Potsdam. Senators Johnson of Colorado and Taft, Ohio, say that manpower is desperately needed at home, and soldiers milling around in a foreign land will quickly become bored and discontented. So they should be brought home. But Democratic Senator Claude Pepper of Florida says the Army knows better what it needs to defeat Japan than Congress. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08 Central War Time. Jack McKenna has this urgent message from Badger Ordnance.
Thank you, Lou, and ladies and gentlemen out there in Radio Land, we have something to talk about today with the atom bomb. Now, I don't know whether our commercial friends at Badger Ordnance Works are silenced by this news of the atomic bomb, but we can't take chances that this will end the war. There's a good job for you making rocket powder at Badger Ordnance Works. Good starting pay, company bus transportation, fine cafeteria food, living quarters for families, and single workers, both men and women wanted. Rockets give Japs the screaming memes. There's a good job for you making rocket powder at Badger Ordnance Works. Badger Ordnance Works at Baraboo, Wisconsin. Luke?
A murder-suicide in the town of Cloverland has left a farmer and his wife dead. Douglas County Sheriff Elton Eckroth says that Nicholas Ahola apparently killed his wife with a wrench and then committed suicide by funneling exhaust from his car into the passenger compartment. The double tragedy is believed to have occurred last Thursday night. District Attorney Thomas Foley and Coroner Herbert Smith says that no inquest will be held. The new U.S. Secretary of Labor, Louis Schwalenbach, is urging workers to have faith that the post-war economy will provide jobs and not see a return to Depression times. Even so, Superior's losing a gigantic payroll as Walter Butler Shipyard completes its ships, and the Globe Shipyard is finishing up its contract. Made up largely of men from Upper Wisconsin, the 32nd Red Arrow Division completes its 600th day of continuous combat. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has more.
This is a remarkable record, Lou. Our own Red Arrow Division has the most combat time amassed by any division in World War II and any U.S. war. On July 20th, Major General William Gill's battle-toughened Red Arrow Division set the record in its fourth year in the Pacific War. The 32nd has fought the Jap from Buna and New Guinea in 1942 and is now fighting in the northern tip of Luzon in the Philippines. The history of the 32nd Red Arrow Division is the story of the road back from Australia to the Philippines. The grizzled 32nd Doughboys are known as the best jungle fighters in the war. When the surging tide of the Japanese menace had rolled within 35 miles of Port Moresby in September of 1942, it was the Red Arrow Division that turned them back. Bloody Buna followed, then Sador, and up the coast of New Guinea before invading Leyte and then Luzon. Unbeaten in two wars, the 32nd Division is made up of the Wisconsin and Upper Michigan National Guard. In the mind of each Red Arrow GI, the question is, where to next, Lou?
Thanks, Mike. An incredible record. We're happy to say there were no casualties to report today, and several veterans of war are getting their discharge papers. Sergeant Robert Follis of Shell Lake has been discharged, having earned 127 points. He had been in an anti-tank division in the Pacific, serving for 3 years and 2 months. Sergeant Anthony Jellick of Mellon is now just plain Tony Jellick, after amassing 129 points. He had been in the service since early 1941 and fought in the African, Sicilian, and Italian campaigns. And Tech 5 Sergeant Harvey Rohde, who was in the South Pacific, has been honorably discharged. He just arrived at the home of his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Fred Rohde, in Washburn.
Welcome home, guys, and thanks, Lou Martin, for that historic newscast. Incidentally, my father served in the 32 Red Division in World War I in Europe. Let's get to that forecast for this Monday, August the 6th, 1945. Cooler tonight and fair and warmer Tuesday. The low tonight will be 55, with a high tomorrow a pleasant 76. Friends, it's music time. I don't mean to brag, but for this special afternoon matinee of the Martin and McKenna Show, I've put together some of the best big band music ever. Let's kick it off with none other than Benny Goodman and his orchestra and Sing, Sing, Sing. Benny Goodman and his orchestra with Sing, 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 even though no one sings in it, on station KUWS. Hey, folks, there's an old place with a new address in town. Molly's Tavern is now located at 514 Tower Avenue in Superior. Always a friendly place. Visit Molly at Molly's, 514 Tower Avenue. What's next, Lou?
The county farm agent, Claude Ebeling, is in.
You mean Claude Call Me Birdie, which is short for Bertram, even though his name is Claude.
That's the one. Then somewhere along the way, someone can tell us what atomic energy is. But let me make this clear. We're not looking for people to come off the street with their theory of what it is.
Kind of touchy there, fellow.
And for good reason.
On with a great lineup of music, folks. Here's Bunny Berrigan and his biggie, I Can't Get Started With You, on the Martin and McKenna Matinee Show.
Under par. Met troubled when have asked me to star. I've got a house, a show place. Still I can't get no place with you. Cause you're so supreme. Lyrics I write of you. I dream, dream day and night of you, and I scheme just for the sight of you. Baby, what good does it do? I've been consulted by Franklin D. Greta Garbo has had me to tea. Still I'm broken-hearted, 'cause I can't get started with you.
Thank you.
Bunny Berrigan, and I can't get started with you on KUWS.
Let me introduce Douglas County Farm Agent, Mr. Claude Ebling, with This Week in Farming. Good afternoon.
Hey, now, that's Bertie to my friends. Bertie, who likes to talk turkey about farming.
That almost rhymes.
And it's almost funny.
Well, farmers and farmerettes, old Bertie here to remind you to make sure all Victory Gardeners exhibit their produce at the county fair this year. Wisconsin and Minnesota fairs closed on this year on account of the war. Heck, that's a heck of a thing. That's just sad. That's just sad. But with that being said, there should be more visitors to be expected at our county fairs. Exhibits will be judged according to that their Danish system. That's six prizes ranging from $7 for all the blue ribbons down to a buckaroo. Six is the magic number, too, people. Each exhibit must have 6 carrots, 6 beets, 6 tomatoes.
How come 6?
Now, let's say Victory Gardener Gary has a freak beet. You know, big and all is all get out and looks kind of like Winston Churchill's head. Heck of a thing, that. I've seen one a few years ago at Jerry Annan's farm. Churchill. It was Churchill. Anyway, old Gardener Gary better have one more big beat to beat the other beats for the old blue ribbon-a-rooney. You farmers in Ashland and Bayfield counties, why, we've cooked up something really, really, really special. Come Wednesday at the Ashland Station, Hezer. We'll give a presentation you won't want to miss. No siree, Bob. Provocative stuff, I don't mind telling you. But Doc Hezer is known for that. His presentations have been banned in some Minnesota counties. But some of that racy stuff, huh? Some more of that racy stuff.
A racy farm lecture? Banned in Minnesota?
Well, you know, the Scandahoovians, they're a bit skittish about, you know,
about farming?
Well, Doc Hezer will talk about, breeding.
A mature audience farm lecture. Sheesh.
Not only that, rumor has it Doc Hezer will be giving a paddock demonstration with that there breeding program.
Lou, can he say paddock on the radio?
Thank you, Douglas County Farm Agent Claude.
No. Do you call me Bertie?
Ebling.
By the by, I have a hunch about what makes that there atom bomb tick, seeing how it was powered by a universal energy and all. One word, and then I'll say no more. But I don't want to blow the lid off national security and all that.
We're waiting with bated breath.
Universal energy. That means it's common. That means it's everywhere. And it's got to be powerful stuff, too, eh?
I give up. What is it?
Manure. Heck of a thing, that manure. Potent stuff, too. Well, I'm off.
I'll see. On with the best big band hits. Here's another of my favorites. This is the North Shore Big Band and Summertime on the Martin and McKenna Matinee Show.
Don't you cry.
from Jack's private stock. That's the North Shore Big Band and Summertime on Station KUWS. I'm still trying to figure out what this atomic bomb is.
It's a terrible new weapon, but it may end the war very fast. We may have to consult some experts on just what this atomic power means.
Well, look no further, my good man. Oh, engineers are trained in physics and combustibility. We're way ahead of you civilians when it comes to this atomic fission, that kind of thing.
Probably why there have been so many explosions in your workshop over the years.
Sure.
Let me introduce KUWS Chief Engineer Joe Gardonio.
And Douglas County Draft Board Chairman Colonel Joe Raffley at your service. Now, looking for experts on blowing up stuff? This old soldier can give the people the lowdown. And certainly better than some skinny pencil-pushing radio engineer.
Hey, what do you mean by that crack?
Look, Garnigonio, no offense, but military men have a certain understandings of things that go kaboom. More so than civilian types. So step aside.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, this is exactly what I hope to avoid. Neither of you or anyone else outside the secret project can say that they know anything about this atomic bomb.
No, yeah!
I'm going to play the last number tonight, folks, from my all-time favorites big band list. For your enjoyment, then, and hopeful to tame the atomic tempers, here's Glenn Miller and his orchestra and Moonlight Serenade on the Martin and McKenna Show, which we hope won't end up being a bomb. the late Glenn Miller, and his orchestra, and his signature song, Moonlight Serenade, on station KUWS. When we last left off, our heroes were hotly debating the intricacies of this top-secret, high-powered atomic bomb.
All right, now listen up, and pay attention to my diagrams, especially you, Colonel. And Lou, don't slouch. Jack, spit out your gum. All right, then. First, you got your molecular structure, molecules we call them. Now, these molecules are made up of things you can't even see with the most powerful microscope. We engineers slash scientists call them atoms. Now, the big challenge is to split the said atom.
Yeah, that's a bunch of gobbledygook.
Oh, we can always depend on the old colonel to have an open mind.
At least it's nice to know that some things stay the same.
Yep, gobbledygook, 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 I say. First of all, if you can't see them, how do you know they're even there, smart guy? And second of all, how can something so small rub out a whole city? And next...
That would be thirdly.
Thank you.
Don't mention it.
Thirdly of all, who decided to name these things atoms?
Atom makes sense to me. This is supposed to be the most basic power in the universe, right?
You only make things worse when you chime in.
Well, then naming it Adam, as in Adam and Eve, makes sense. It's kind of like a new world now.
Another benefit of your membership in the Roger Rocket Atomic Book Club.
Well, for the first time in my life, I'll agree with my colleague on that one. Al and Eve, or Bob and Eve, they just don't sound right.
You know what's shocking about this appallingly ignorant conversation is that there's some wisdom in Jack's comment.
Look, Skinny. Big words don't change the facts
that's easy for you to say.
Big words won't change the facts as I've presented them. This atom bomb is top secret, and then that's that.
No. First of all, you don't have to see an atom to know it's there. You can measure it by its energy output. Now, second of all, as we in the slim and wiry set like to say, size doesn't matter. Especially when it comes to generating power or atomic fusion.
You mean confusion.
And next of all...
Thirdly.
Much obliged, and thirdly of all...
It's disturbing that these guys are talking about stuff like atomic fusion, and they can't count past two.
Thirdly of all, it's atom, not atom.
I'm not following you.
Atom! A-T-O-M! Atom! That's why they call it atomic, not atomic!
Atomic?
I'm not saying it's atomic. It's atomic. It's a C-A-T-O-M-I-C, atomic.
Yeah, you get it?
There's no Adam and Eve, because he would have blown her up.
Oh, yeah?
How about you take me there with some argument?
I don't know about that.
Don't you think so, Jack?
No extra hints needed here, old buddy. Stay tuned for Blind Date, followed by Beulah. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. Good Lord willing, and these guys shut up, and Joe doesn't go atomic and whatever, and blow up the radio station. For Lou Martin, and this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds me. Freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, John Munson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.